to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sittle-Reed, my co-host Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, novelist, playwright, and children's author Paul Mason. So Paul, you recently published a book for children, your first?
Indeed, yes. My first, yes.
So what inspired this book and what is it about?
Well, for 2 years I dated a lovely lady from this general area. And she had a little pug, a creature that was absolutely full of life, a real personality. And I was in love with the lady, and I was quite enchanted by the pug. Eventually, she moved from real life into the life of the imagination and took on perhaps a somewhat bolder character than she really had, but it allowed me to take her places that I hadn't initially expected.
Okay. We're talking about the pug rather
we're talking
than
about,
the lady.
We're talking about the pug, yes.
Okay.
And I should mention also that this pug has a best friend, a Maine Coon cat, called Smudge. And as it happens, my ex-wife had a cat filled with personality called Smudge. So I brought these two creatures together.
Mm-hmm. When you retired from teaching, you made a transition into acting. So had you always had aspirations to act?
I think probably I had, although I put them aside for about 30 years while I was teaching. I did, however, teach English and drama, so that to some degree I remained in touch with the world of dramatic literature and, for that matter, performance. As a young man, I had acted in community theatre, and I had a couple of seasons in professional theatre in a small way. I acted in 8 productions at the Quarter Summer Theatre in Lindsay.
Oh, yeah.
Under Dennis Sweeting. In those days, that was an Equity Theatre.
Mm-hmm.
And my God, how I miss that. And one season also at Arbor Theatre in Peterborough, which in the 1980s was also an Equity Theatre. So I had put these things aside, so far as personal performance was concerned, for 3 decades. But upon my retirement, it seemed something worth exploring.
Uh-huh. And obviously, it's been a success, so the transition wasn't that difficult.
It's been a very interesting journey. I think the jury's out on whether it's a success, but I've had a wonderful time. I really have. I've done a vast range of projects, from children's television through to, playing a hitman in a drama, through appearing in a documentary that will be on CNN and another on the Discovery Channel. So I've done some interesting things. Whether they will eventually lead to a career that will sustain me is another issue altogether.
Well, you've appeared in over 35 projects, and they're obviously spread across the field, as it were.
They are.
Yes.
They are.
So tell us about your life as an actor in contemporary Canada.
Well, I have focused on film and television, whereas in my youth I focused exclusively on the stage. In finding that folk, I discovered a whole realm of cultural expression that I'd scarcely knew existed. And I'm referring to independent filmmaking,
mm-hmm.
as distinct from studio filmmaking.
Yes.
Now, as I say, I have done some work for studios, roughly half of what I've done. But what I began doing were independent productions, where an individual perhaps had $10,000 or a group of individuals had been able to raise $50,000, and they had a vision, they had a script, they hired a crew, they hired a number of actors, and over the course of 4 days or 2 weeks or perhaps a month and a half, they created a film. So for the first year that I was working, that was chiefly the context in which I worked. And it was fascinating. It really was. I met some wonderful characters, some wonderful people, and worked on some very interesting projects.
I see. Now, that sort of setup, is it most, do most of those films turn out to be documentaries, or are people aiming for a fictional feature?
I think it's fair to say that in that world, well, I should be careful. I should restrict myself to the people I worked with. The people I worked with were clearly hoping eventually to make feature films, you know, with an eye to Hollywood or other centers of production for works of fiction, works of dramatic fiction. I know that there are small-time documentary filmmakers as well, but they were not the people I worked with.
Well, to return to fiction, how about reading to us from A Pug Called Puppy?
I will joyfully do so. So, this is from Chapter 2, and it's titled A New Man Friend for Danielle. Danielle is the human companion of Poppy the Pug, and she and Poppy, and for that matter Smudge the Cat, the Maine Coon Cat, were introduced in the first chapter, so I'm aware that I'm plunging you down in the middle of things a bit. The day after Poppy met Smudge for the first time, and bravely fought off Psycho Cat, she met someone else who was to become important in her life. It was a Saturday, so Danielle didn't have to teach. Saturdays were Poppy's favorite day, along with Sundays and the other days of the week. Like most dogs, Poppy found many things pretty special on the moment they happened. Saturdays were special because Danielle often stayed home all day, and because the two of them, the dog and her human, sometimes took two long walks together. On this Saturday, the day unfolded pretty much like every other Saturday. Danielle slept in a little, then took Poppy for a little walk, to do what every dog needs to do after a long night, then gave Poppy breakfast, then had a leisurely breakfast herself. And on this Saturday, Poppy got the scraps of Danielle's breakfast as a treat for being a glossy black pug. Then Danielle did some house cleaning, which Poppy enjoyed helping with, apart from the vacuuming, which was much too noisy and completely unnecessary. There was a part of Poppy that found the whole idea of vacuuming a bit insulting. Danielle seemed to give extra attention to the areas where Poppy slept and played, sucking up the fur that Poppy quite deliberately shed in these places. After the house cleaning was over, Danielle did some laundry, and Poppy helped with that by jumping into the laundry baskets and burrowing under the clothes. On this Saturday, too, Poppy made herself useful by knocking over a box of detergent and spilling some of its contents on the floor. Danielle wasn't as grateful for that as Poppy had hoped she might be, but she soon recovered her good humor and made a cup of tea and settled down to read a book. Meanwhile, Poppy napped beside her to recover from all the hard work she had done. After lunch, Danielle cleaned up the kitchen and mopped the floor, and then took Poppy for the first of what Poppy hoped would be two long walks. They trotted along the Rotary Greenway Trail that had once been a railway track, and Poppy smelled all sorts of delicious smells. She barked at a squirrel, and barked at a bird, and ate some grass, and barked at a chipmunk, and generally reminded the universe that she was keeping watch over things in the way that only a little black pug can. It was a great walk, quite possibly the best walk that Poppy had had since the day before, when, as you scarcely need reminding, she had met Smudge and showed Psycho Cat she was a force to be reckoned with. When they got home, however, the tempo of the day seemed to change. Danielle became a little agitated. She remembered to give Poppy some fresh water in her bowl and a little doggy biscuit, but she didn't seem as patient as she usually was when Poppy barked at people passing by on the street. And she spent a long time talking on the telephone, much, much longer than was necessary. As the day wore on, Poppy became more and more aware that her human was distracted. And things became worse when, a little later in the afternoon, Danielle began cooking something that required a great deal of her attention. Yes, there was another walk, but it was just a little walk, and once it was over, Danielle ran herself a bath and ironed a pretty black dress. She told Poppy sternly that she was not to get up on the bed. Now, often when Danielle had a bath, she took a big glass of red wine in with her and a book by one of her favorite feminist authors. She would lie in the bath and drink her wine and read her book and say things like, "Right on, sister," or, "You go, girl." On this occasion, however, she seemed much more focused than usual. She washed her hair and shaved her legs, and after she got out of the bath, she went to check on her cooking. Poppy did her best to distract her by dragging her bowl into the middle of the kitchen, but Danielle simply patted her head and told her to be a good dog. "I am a good dog," Poppy thought indignantly. And then, half an hour later, and after Danielle had put on her nicely ironed dress, there came a knock at the door. A moment later, a man with a bald head and a deep voice was standing inside the entry hall, smelling of leather and spice. He was carrying a bottle of wine and a bunch of flowers, both gifts apparently intended for Danielle, though Poppy would have enjoyed eating the flowers, and he kissed Danielle in a way that Poppy found far too familiar. "Poppy, this is Andrew," said Danielle. "Oh, what a nice Doberman," said Andrew, bending down to pet Poppy. Poppy snorted. Anyone capable of making such a silly mistake would surely be ordered to leave the house immediately. But Danielle just laughed and said, "Andrew," and then kissed him again. And when that happened, Poppy suddenly realized, with a sinking of her puggy heart, that this Andrew character might be around for a little while.
Oh, that's delightful.
Thank you.
Many thanks to Paul Mason, novelist, playwright and actor. Where can readers buy your books, Paul?
Well, I'm happy to say that A Pug Called Poppy, from which I've just read, and The Night Drummer, and Battered Souls, and The Red Dress, and Jim's Star are all available from Amazon.
Uh-huh.
And all but Jim's Star are available from Chapters, Indigo also. But I always encourage people, when possible, to order them from their local independent bookstore. So if I can leave you on that note.
Right, yeah. That's fine with us. We like to support our independent bookstores. So, to connect with us, listeners, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for who we might interview in future programs to our website, wordonthehills.com, where all our broadcasts are archived. We love to hear from you and welcome your comments on our programs. Thanks for tuning in to the show. We hope you'll join us for another program next week on Sunday at 1 p.m. right here on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.